Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design conference call for the 18th day of February, year 2024. And I am your host, Pastor Dan, and the topic for today's broadcast is vengeance. Dictionary definition of vengeance is the act of taking vengeance, which is harming someone in retaliation for something harmful that they have done. We dedicate this broadcast to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this broadcast to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen, Shumai, and welcome to the broadcast, Prinhanda Kumriambith. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and Pastor Dan is all together with no spaces. When you go to the website, there's a Daily Mail page there set up for you to have all kind of links for information about what's going on in the world. Also, tips on health issues, being a prepper, etc., etc. If you do not have my personal contact information, there's another page that's entitled Contact Us, and you can use that to get me a message, and I will get back to you as soon as possible. My email address is BYD, capital BYD, which stands for By Yahweh's Design, so BYDPastorDan@yahoo.com, and the BYD Pastor Dan is all together, no spaces. So we are busily trying to accomplish what Mr. Richard Buckminster Fuller told us a long time ago. You never change things by fighting the existing reality. What's the existing reality? Babylon. All right? Even the scripture says to get out of it. It doesn't say to fix it. It says get the hell out. So it says you don't change things by fighting the existing Babylonian reality. To change something, build a new model. Yahweh's model, God's law, that makes the existing model obsolete. And from where I'm sitting, what I'm hearing, and the people I'm talking to, we're very close to a significant portion of mankind coming to the conclusion it's time to switch over. Our ancestors made a huge mistake when they asked our Heavenly Father to give us a king. All right, so we have suffered under the man's brutal rule over this world and mankind ever since, because we were warned. In the scriptures, you can read the versions that our father and the prophets told the people, here's what's going to happen when you have government of men. And foolishly, we didn't listen. Our ancestors, just like our people today, figured, well, I've got a new car in the driveway. I've got a decent paying job. I've got a degree. I can go on a cruise. I've got a pizza in the oven. Things are okay. No, they're not. No, they're not. So our ancient ancestors did the same damn thing, and now our people are doing it today. Same thing. Turn their backs on our father. Turn their backs on his law, thinking they can get away with it because the Babylonians have allowed you to have comfortable servitude to them. You're comfortable slaves. But you are a slave, whether you realize it or not. So we are no different than our ancestors trapped in Egypt under Pharaoh. We're exactly like them. We have comfortable servitude. We have turned our backs on our Creator, and the world is suffering because of that. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people on whom my name is named, that's us, the sons of Adam, make themselves low or humble and come to me in prayer, searching for me, not Babylon, and turning from their evil or wicked ways, then I will give ear from heaven, overlooking their transgressions of my law. Some people call that sin. and will give life again to their land. Bring life back to the world. Bring back the pristine paradise that we call Earth, okay? Because there are those who are destroying the Earth, and what does Scripture say our Father is going to do to those who destroy the Earth? He's going to destroy them, okay? And we've reached that point. We reached that point. It's kind of interesting. A lot of times, I'm not really quite sure what Father wants me to tell everybody until the morning I get up and I look at the morning mail. And I noticed in the inbox today there were several articles talking about different people. For instance, Dr. David Martin, who some people don't like him, but I think David Martin has many, many good things to say. And he was on ForbiddenKnowledgeTV.net and making a statement that it was time for the wicked to pay for their crimes. I thought, well, there's a double witness. Because I've talked to many of our brothers and sisters out there on a daily basis. And this topic has been coming up quite a bit here lately. And it's been almost like some people have said to me, you know, well, Dan, it's time for you to call for that day of judgment. That day of vengeance. And I'm sitting here going, well, that's not my call to make. It's the Father's call to make. But then again, are we not his ambassadors upon this earth? Are the spokesmen for him not the ones to be the harbingers of his vengeance coming upon the earth? It does say in Scripture that he does nothing without first telling the people through his prophets. And yet there's people out there going, oh, the day of the prophet's over. Really? So we no longer need anybody to remind us about what the Father's got to say? Is that what you're saying? I got news for you. The office of the prophet has always been there. He is the representative of the Father to the people. The priests in the old days were the representatives of the people to the Father. And with the coming of Yeshua and what he did, he took away the necessity for the priests to represent. You now had direct access to go to the Father. So the priesthood no longer was necessary. And yet we've created priesthoods, only today we call them preachers or pastors or whatever. And we try to make that it's their job to intercede for us. When Yahweh said, no, the curtain has been torn in two. You have direct access. What are you putting that on somebody else for? And the other problem with that is that you're trusting the preacher, priest, or pastor to be telling you the whole truth. Many of them are not. But the office of the prophet, the people that Yahweh goes down and touches and makes him the anointed one of our Heavenly Father, that office is still there. He still has his spokesman out there beating the drum and trying to get people to wake up to what the hell's going on in this world. So just remember that those who destroy the earth will in turn be destroyed. A little bit later on here, we're going to go into Jeremiah chapter 51. There's a couple sections in there that I think are very appropriate for where we are today, and so we're going to talk about that. But I'm going to send it out later on in one of my email bursts this time with David Martin talking about the wicked paying for their crimes. And he's not the only one. There was also another article by the American Academy of Pediatricians that were warning against GMO foods. Now, we here at By Yahweh's Design, we've been talking about the hybrid foods and the genetically modified organism foods, GMO. We've been talking about that for a long time. And now there are credentialed people and organizations with some credibility starting to beat the drum, okay? But we were out there in front because why? Because the people who love Yahweh love the truth. And they're diggers. They don't just take something on face value. You don't come to me and just tell me something and expect me to take it on face value. I don't care who you are because I'm not going to do it. All right? I'm going to bounce it against the Holy Spirit. I'm going to bounce it against my own research. I'm going to bounce it against other reports. But just to say that, well, let's say today Ella or John or Melissa or Tim came to me and told me, and that's all I need to know. No. It'd be no different if you went ran off and told people things just because Dan told you something. No, no. We share information. That does not relieve you of the job of double verification. Trust but verify. We used to have that saying in the power industry all the time. If an engineer told us to go do something or one of the nuclear operators, trust but verify. Oh, yeah, I would trust what he told me to do, but that did not mean I wouldn't go grab some tech manuals off the shelf or some of the electrical drawings, and I would verify that what he told me is indeed factual. I'm going to tell you, there were a lot of times I went back to the engineering department or over to the control room and told the operator that what you just told me to do is wrong. And then I would explain to them why it was wrong. And I'm going to tell you, they were grateful that somebody didn't just run off and do what they said, but took the time to verify. Well, what's the difference with the scriptures and life in general here when we were talking about our Heavenly Father? It's the same thing. Just as I've noticed, it took me a long time to realize that we are truly the sons of Adam, okay? And for years and years, I had many people say, there's something different about you, and I just blew it off. I thought, no, that's kind of crazy. There's nothing different about me. And then I've begun to realize, as I've gotten older, that no, I understand now what they were talking about, because when you walk with Father Yahweh, you are different. You are different. And in this day and age when evil has become so prevalent through our societies, it stands out even more when you are a son or daughter of Adam and a lover of our Father Yahweh and live according to His Holy Spirit. You stand out dramatically, actually, dramatically. So years ago, to hear it was kind of like weird, felt kind of strange, but today it's almost expected. If somebody isn't saying that you're different than the average zombie walking around out here, then you're not doing right, because you should be standing out. You should be something quite different than the quote normies that are walking around with their heads up their ass. Excuse my vernacular, but that's exactly the way they are. They can't tell if it's day or night. They don't know what in the world is going on. Another article I saw said that the truckers, meaning the 18-wheeler drivers, have just put out a warning that they're no longer going to go into New York City because of the violence and everything else that's going on there. And I'm thinking of where it says to come out of the cities in scriptures. And we've said for many years that true believers should not be living inside cities. Cities are the dens of iniquity. Always have been. They're dirty. They're overcrowded. The Edomite Jew loves the cities because it reminds him of Mount Seir, where they lived a long time ago, in the cliffs and caves along Mount Seir. And if you look at the high rises and condos and all the things that Jewish developers build, it reminds you of those same dreary, plain, ugly cliffs that they come from. You see, just like that Jewish author said in his book, we will never be satisfied with what you Gentiles do, you goyim, you animals that we have to live in. We'll never be satisfied with what you do, because we need to create a world of our own. So that Jew actually spoke a truth, which is hard to believe, but sometimes they brag. Their vanity will be their undoing. And they like to vainly tell you just how much control they have. And so he was bragging that you animals out there, you non-Jews, you'll never satisfy us, because we are hell-bent on taking this beautiful land that our Heavenly Father Yahweh gave us and turning it into a living hell. Because that's what they do. They are of the evil. They are the adversaries that John told us about. Not the adversary. Everybody says the Antichrist. No, there's many Antichrists. The Apostle John himself says so in Scripture. There are already many Antichrists here in his day. You think there are more here 2,000 years later? Oh, absolutely. They're all around us. They're everywhere. Who do you think is spending all these electronic shekels that they create to put up all of this ugliness? And I'm living right in the midst of it down here in South Florida. I'm watching them take the beautiful farmlands that were down here in the area called the Redlands, and they're turning it into high rises, or not really high rises. They're 2 and 3 story apartment buildings and condos. Ugly. Ugly, very plain, just like the Mount Seir where they come from. There's no beauty, there's no greenery, there's no symmetry. It's just plain, squared off, almost like a honeycomb where every cone looks exactly the same. You look at all these high rises, they look just like the one down the street because that's what they like. They like plainness, they like ugliness. And if you don't think that what I'm saying is true, just go look at National Geographic or any of these things that have articles. Because I looked at one many years ago, and they had the mosaic in the floor of a synagogue over in the Middle East. Now, this National Geographic article was trying to talk about other things, but I focused in on the pictures. Because they showed the pictures of this synagogue and the stonework and the mosaics in the floor, and it looked like a 2-year-old child designed it. And I'm thinking to myself, this is beautiful? No, this is ugly. To an Aryan, to a child of Yahweh, this is ugly. But to a Jew, oh, they liked it. And then I took the pictures of cathedrals and stuff that our people have built. In the symmetry and the beauty, like in the statues, okay? Our people built statues that look like they could come alive. Look at the artwork that a Jew creates. It's ugly. No symmetry, no reality. It shows the ugliness of them on the inside and the outside. And they call that art. Well, that shows you just how Judaized your society has become when what is purported to be art is the ugliness that Jews bring into a society. It's not just their ugly attitudes with communism and socialism and the whole Talmudic ugliness of how to treat other people in this world, such as what's happening in Palestine. Okay, the Jews are finally letting the curtain fall and showing their true nature in what they are doing to the Palestinian people. They've always been that way, but they've done a better job of hiding it. But we're into the apocalypse. The apocalypse means the unveiling. And so we are. It's indeed true. The unveiling of what? The unveiling of the hideous nature of the Jew. The hideous nature of their lying and deceiving and their conniving, whether it's in politics, in medicine, education, or history, or music, whatever. They do the same thing. Doesn't matter what they're in. People say, "Well, Dan, it's just those Zionist Jews." Really? Really? No, it's their nature. And again, I can quote you from books written by Jews that admit this, okay? It's not my opinion. It's their own opinion of themselves. And as my one book on the shelf over here states, the Jews refer to themselves as parasites. They are parasites. They know they're parasites. The question is, when are we, the rest of the people that walk this earth, going to wake the hell up and understand we have this monstrous parasite sucking the lifeblood out of everything on earth? We have reached that point where those who destroy the earth shall be destroyed. So saith Yahweh. All right? Those who commit these evil works, as Malachi talks about, and Obadiah, it's time for Joseph, it's time for Jacob to become a flame and a fire in this world. Because the wicked and the evil that is being done is destroying this world, destroying the crops, destroying the earth, destroying the animals, destroying the vegetation, destroying the air that we breathe. These people don't know any other way. And it's partly because, like in my youth, when I thought everything on two legs was identical, only to find out years later in my own studies that no, they're not identical. Just because they got a head and shoulders and two arms and two legs doesn't mean that we're all the same. No, we are not. Just like because somebody stands behind a pulpit and holds up a book and calls it the Bible, they're not all the same. They're not all teaching the true word. Many of them are evil themselves. Some of them are pedophiles. Some of them are homosexuals. Some of them are communists. Some of them are Jews, purporting themselves to be teachers of Yahweh's law, and they are anything but that. And you want to know why the world suffers? As Malachi talks about in other scriptures, the whole world is in travail, waiting for the sons of Yahweh to be manifested. Waiting. This world is waiting. Where are the sons and daughters of the Most High? Oh, my preacher told me, Dan, that we are not to be violent. Really? I got a few scriptures we're going to read here in a minute. I think he's lying to you. Oh, Dan, we're supposed to turn the other cheek. Really? Well, this gets to the point that we've made here on By Yahweh's Design so many times. If you don't know who's who in the zoo, you're lost. Okay? You can't just take a scripture that says turn your cheek to a brother that strikes you. If you don't know who the brothers are that it's talking about, then you walk around like the typical zombie that comes out of these mainstream churches thinking, well, I'm a good Christian, so when that guy strikes me, I'm going to turn my other cheek. Is that what it really said? No, that's not what it said. First of all, if a stranger, somebody not of your race, strikes you, then you better strike them back instantly. And even amongst your own kind, if they are not a follower and lover of our Heavenly Father and His law, he or she is not your brother. So they got to pass two tests. They got to pass the DNA test before I'm going to turn my cheek. And they got to pass the test of being a brother or sister in Yahweh. If they don't have those two things going for them, if they strike my cheek, I'm going to take a baseball bat and I'm going to beat them with it. I'm just saying, if you think you can strike me on the cheek and get away with it, I got news for you. You're going to wish you hadn't. Because I've read the book, I understand the Greek language, and I know who my brethren are, and I know who are not. And if you're not my brethren, you don't get that right. I have nothing that tells me I got to treat you as if you're a brother who offends me. No. You trespass on my land, you try to hurt my wife or my daughter or my children, you're going to get a bullet. Okay? Nothing in Scripture says that that's wrong. Nothing in Scripture says that. Oh, but Dan, vengeance is the Lord's. Yeah, and what are we, if not His battle axes and weapons of war? So you're going to take the book of Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Isaiah, and Malachi, and Obadiah, and throw them in the trash can? Or the Psalms and the Proverbs, going to throw them in the trash can too? Like Psalm 149? Okay? Don't tell me vengeance is the Lord's and I'm supposed to sit on my ass and allow my world to be turned upside down by these misfits and these cretins that walk around us. No. And neither should you. No. This world is in travail because the righteous have been sitting on their ass because they're listening to those lying, pusillanimous pieces of garbage behind pulpits telling them false doctrine. They're teaching them Jewish fables from books translated by those who work for the Jew. Whereas the Holy Spirit within you should be screaming out against the injustices of this world. We should be the Rhadamanthine men that our Heavenly Father demands. Remember that strange word that we never hear about? It's in your dictionary. Rhadamanthine. It starts out R-H-A-D-A. Rhada. Rhadamanthine. It means to be strictly and uncompromisingly just. Do you see much justice in the world today? No. So the word Rhadamanthine, the adjective Rhadamanthine, cannot be used that much today. That's why you don't even know it. You don't ever hear it used, because who are you going to use it for? I'm asking you, who would you apply it to? Who would you say is a Rhadamanthine man amongst you? And that actually is a condemnation of our people today, that you don't have men that you can give that adjective to. That tells you a lot about the state of the world. When you don't know, right off the top of your head, you can't name 5 to 10 people, especially us men, warriors and statesmen, that you could apply Rhadamanthine to. That is a statement in and of itself that things are woefully wrong. And we need to fix that. And Ella has done a lot of work, and she's put together some work done by other people to show a timeline that suggests that 2024 could be the turning year. This could be the approach of the Jubilee that we've been waiting for. This could be the great apocalypse, the great unveiling that totally exposes these creatures from the dark lagoon. Some people call them Jews. And the people that do the work of the Jews are the same as the Jews, okay? People say, well, how do I know the DNA? Judge them by their fruits. Remember, there's only two groups of people dealt with in Scripture. That's it, just two. Not 20, not 50, not 1,000, two. Just two. Yahweh's sheep and everybody else. So does it matter to me if a Jew is a Jew because he studies the Talmud and he's actually a black or a brown or a yellow, or if he's actually that misbegotten race of reptilians that we call Jews? Does it matter to me? No. No, because there's my family, those that love the Father, and everybody else. If you're part of the everybody else, then you're a goat. And what does Scripture say happens to goats? It's not a good thing, is it? So you want to be a sheep? Following the true shepherd? Yeshua HaMashiach? Or do you want to be a goat and go the way of the goats? Choice is yours. What we do with the goats, that's in Scripture. And that day, the day of vengeance, I think, is right around the corner. Ezekiel 25, verse 17, I will execute great vengeance on them with wrathful rebukes. Then they will know that I am Yahweh when I lay my vengeance upon them. Now, again, we're going to get into Jeremiah and other verses where you and I, ladies and gentlemen, are his battle axe and weapons of war. You and I are. So anybody out there telling you, oh, we don't have a right to be vengeful, Dan, because that belongs to Yahweh. Yeah, it does. When you do his will, when you men pick up the sword and decide that you're going to obey your father, yeah, that is Yahweh taking a stand against wickedness and evilness. As long as we, the warriors of our Heavenly Father, are righteous. That's the difference. We got all kind of men running around with weapons murdering innocent people, and they're doing it for corporate America and wickedness within our military industrial complex. Okay, they're mercenaries. They are murderers. We're talking about warriors who do what they do for righteous I just don't understand. I was in the military. I don't understand how men and women can put on a uniform, and this goes for police too, and go out and do Satan's work. Satan meaning your adversaries, who are by the thousands, by the way. Go out there and do what they do to innocent people and think that they're justified. To think because of that uniform they have a right to disobey our Father. I have a very difficult time with that. How do you turn off your conscience? Or is it that you do not have a conscience? Or are you part of the group of people that Scripture talks about having a seared conscience in the latter days? Do you ever notice that a lot of people walking around appear to be such? You know what searing is? You've seen the old Western movies where somebody gets a knife or an arrow or a gunshot wound and it's bleeding very, very badly, and they take that iron in the fire. It's red hot. And they put that iron up against that wound and it sears the wound. That's what searing is. It creates a very hard, calloused surface to stop the bleeding. But it also stops a lot of other things. So a seared conscience is a conscience that cannot have Yahweh's mercy and justice come through it. It's seared to keep out the effect of the Holy Spirit. It is seared so that you are driven by human instinct alone, human greed, human lust, human evil. The Holy Spirit's knocking, but you can't let it in because your conscience is seared over by desire for money, material, pleasure, entertainment, and the list goes on and on and on. So we're in that time, okay? Leviticus 19, verse 18. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am Yahweh. How about that? Now, this is going to go back to where I said you have to know who's who in the zoo. And if you read this verse very carefully, it says, do not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people. So right there, if you read it properly, you wouldn't need to know what the original languages are talking about. But there are people today that go, see, we're not supposed to take vengeance, because that's Yahweh's job. What? You could infer when you read that verse that if I'm not supposed to take vengeance or bear a grudge against my own people, then it's okay to do that against the people that are not my own. Yeah, that's right. That's why I said you come on my property and do wickedness or evil, I'm coming after you. Because for one thing, the sons of my own people typically don't do those things. If you share my racial DNA and my love of the Most High, the odds of you coming in to do those kind of things to me or to my family or my property are slim to none. That's like where I live. My neighbors and I, we're a multicultural environment around here, and we all get along just fine. They stick to their business, I stick to my business, and we get along just fine. All right? They don't come onto my property, I don't go onto their property. When they're out of town, I look after their property. If something's wrong, I send a message or call them and tell them a window's broken or you need to come fix this or whatever. We look out for each other because it's the right thing to do. And as long as we respect one another, everything is peaceful and kind. We don't need police. We don't need armies. We don't need government. We don't need any of the man-made things to live according to our Father, our Creator's laws. Man has to create chaos so that you beg for government. You beg for the mental control of yourself by a group of people who are misfits, cretins, and miscreants. Deuteronomy 32, verse 35, vengeance is mine and recompense for the time when their foot shall slip, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and their doom comes swiftly. Yeah, that's what we're calling for right now, the day of recompense. And do we have to wait for Yahweh to come down on a white charger or a spaceship or just come floating down out of the atmosphere? Do we have to have that to be able to execute this verse? No, we don't. We were given the authority to take the wicked and punish them accordingly from day one. The reason the world is in travail is because you've been totally misguided by the church world. The mainstream churches are full of liars and deceivers because the enemy took it over. They know that you like the idea of going to a building called a church or a cathedral or a temple. They know that you're prone to that. You like that. You like the symbolism, even though there's no power or substance to it. They know that. So the enemy said, well, let's give them what they want. We'll send our spies and our Jewish infiltrators into their ranks as preachers and as theologians and as biblical researchers. Yeah, right. And we'll tell them all kind of nonsense. And then we'll give them new English translations with idiotic things like Jewish Christian in it. And don't tell me it's not there because I got two Bibles on my shelf right here that is used. That term is actually used in these books that people pay money for this. One of them is called God's Word. God's Word? Jewish Christian is in God's Word? There is no such thing as a Jewish Christian. It's an oxymoron. Please. And if you don't know what oxymoron is, then look it up. It's what dictionaries are for. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. Since indeed Yahweh God considers it just to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to grant relief to you who are afflicted, as well as to us, when Yahweh, through Yahshua, is revealed from heaven with his mighty messengers in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know Yahweh God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Yahshua Jesus. It reminds me of the verse in Luke where it says, bring those that would not that I rule over them before me and slay them. Now, for all you the New Testament folk out there, the ones, you know, that just love peace and love and be kind, and Yahshua is just like a little hippie in sandals and long hair, you know, he just loves everybody, doesn't matter what race they are, doesn't matter what they're doing. And yet, this verse here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 sort of makes you think that not necessarily. Talks about inflicting vengeance, doesn't it? Does it say Yahweh's going to do it himself, or is it saying that we, his messengers? It uses the word angels, but the word angelos in Greek means a messenger. Are you a messenger? Yeah, you are. So am I. And then we have the book of Luke where he says, bring those that would not that I, meaning Yahshua, Yahweh in the flesh, bring those that would not that I rule over them before me and slay them. Okay, well, wait a minute. I thought you just said that vengeance belongs to Yahweh. And yet, Yahshua himself says that we will be told to bring those. Who do you think brings those? Who do you think the angels are? The messengers. Us, the sons of Adam, the sons who are waiting to be manifested, meaning the world is waiting for the sons of Yahweh to finally show up in the game. Psalm 94, verse 1. O Yahweh God of vengeance, O God of vengeance, shine forth. So that's what we're praying today. Psalm 94, verse 1, right there. O Yahweh God of vengeance, shine forth. By your Holy Spirit, Father Yahweh, raise up that army that Ezekiel told us about in chapters 37 and 38. Bring forth that army out of that valley of dead and dry bones, meaning the earth full of spiritually dead people. People that think it's always somebody else's job to fix this world. Revelation 21, verse 8, but as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. See, all man dies the first death. It's the second death that's the one that counts. Because Yahweh created all of us. You know, people say, well, every spirit lives on into eternity. Well, maybe, maybe not. According to this verse, there's a second death. The body, of course, goes away. Okay? The flesh loses the spark of life. That is the way of the world. That's the first death. All men suffer that, except that small, tiny group at the end of the age. And you and I might be part of that group, by the way. But all men are appointed to suffer that death. It's the second death that is the crucial one. That's the one they're talking about. And only Yahweh himself administers that death. Luke 18, verses 7 and 8, and will not Yahweh God give justice to his elect? We're praying for it right now. Who cry to him day and night. Who are the people crying out to the Father for justice right now? Our people. The people of Yahweh. That's who. Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? See, that's the big problem right now. While this world is busily going to hell in a handbasket, Yahweh watches over his remnant that walks here. That's what that verse is talking about. Those who cry out to him day and night. He has promised to watch over us, even as we travel in this dark and sinful world. He's there at our side. He is our comforter, and he is our protector. He does not forsake his own. Now, does that make it any easier to watch this pitiful world go through the hell that we're witnessing? No, it doesn't necessarily make it easier. It just makes it survivable. All right? That's what you need to remember. It makes it to where we can be, what? Overcomers. So that we will stand at the end of the age. That's what that's talking about. In Matthew chapter 25 at verse 41, then he will say to those on his left, that's where the goats are. That's where the everybody else is located, to his left. Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for my adversary, Diablos, and his messengers. It says here the devil and his angels, but Diablos is an adversary. And his what? Messengers. They are the people that do the bidding. So you can change that from prepared for the Jew and those who do the work for the Jews. Well, Dan, are you anti-Semitic? No, I'm a Semite. How can I be anti-Semitic? Okay, are Jews Semites? Yes and no. It depends which dictionary definition you're using. Do they live in an area that speaks a Semitic language? Yeah, but are they of the ancestor Shem? No, they are not Shemites. They do speak a Semitic language, but they are not of Shem. You and I are of Shem. So again, there's confusion because we have words with different definitions today. That's the problem with the English language. We typically have a single word that can be used sometimes as much as 8 different ways. Whereas in the ancient world, they had a word for each version. Just like I was telling you in ancient Hebrew and Greek, they had several words for man. They had several different words for love. Because they used the word in the appropriate context, and therefore the person hearing them did not get confused. Whereas in English, you're not quite sure which one. Because again, in the dictionary, it could have 5, 6, 7, 8 different meanings depending on context. And yet, when you hear it, if you don't apply the context, then you're confused. Such as in John 14, verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Who said that? Yeshua said that. How can you love Yahweh God and not keep his commandments? Answer, you can't. You can't. The churches are full of people who think they love the Father, but they're paying lip service to him. That's where he says, depart from me, you cursed. Depart from me. I never knew you. And again, here we go. In John, if you love me, is it talking eros love, as in erotic love? Well, obviously not. It's talking about reverence and brotherly love or affection. But here again, if it was in the Greek we were reading it, you wouldn't even have to question that because it would use agape versus eros. You see the difference? In Luke 22, verse 36, Yeshua said to them, but now let the one who has a money bag or purse take it, and likewise a knapsack. And let the one who has no sword sell his cloak and buy one. And it's also in Luke where he says, bring those that would not that I rule over them before me and slay them. Okay, so Luke understood that this message is not one of peace and pacification. This is a message to our brethren. I just read a thing about a SS general that was questioned in the 1990s. He was a survivor of World War II. And he talked about the fact that in Europe in the 1920s, 30s, and 40s, Europeans understood that the scriptures are for white people. It's not a book for the world. It's for white people. It's our history book. That's why Christianity used to be called a white man's burden. All right? You have to understand who's who in the zoo. Who was intended to be reading Greek and Hebrew? Aborigines in Australia? Eskimos in Alaska? Indians of South America? Come on, put your thinking caps on. You take texts that are written in ancient Hebrew or Greek, and you're going to give it to them, and you think they're going to be able to read it and understand it? Obviously, the answer is no. Well, Dan, what about all the other races? Like I said, there's only two groups of people that the scriptures talk about. Those who love Yahweh and obey his law, and everybody else. All right? Like I said, my neighbors around here, as long as they obey the law, meaning God's law. I don't care about man's law. But as long as they obey the law of staying to yourself, leaving alone, don't trespass, don't do me harm, then we get along just fine. Would I do harm to them? Absolutely not. Do I look out for them and their children? Yeah, I do. If I see one of the children standing out in the road, I go get them and put them off to the side of the road. I don't want to see them get hurt. We do the right things because it's the right thing to do. We represent the Creator on this earth. You should represent Him as well. Everything about you should represent Him. The way you think, the way you act, the way you talk. Everything about you should exemplify His value system, not the way of the world. And the same thing goes for crime and punishment. And the reason this world is in the sick, sorry state it's in is because we have given up obeying our Father and we're listening to a bunch of goddamn Jews who have said it's not your job, it's up to the state to punish wrongdoers. Really? Who runs the state? The Jews do. Who gets an advantage for you believing that kind of nonsense? The Jews do. They get to just run roughshod over your entire society because they run the courts and they run the justice system. So if you want to believe those folks, FBI, CIA, NSA, prosecutors, lawyers, law schools, and their court system is going to bring justice to your world, you are dumber than a box of rocks. I'm sorry, but you really are. If you think that bunch of miscreants is going to bring justice on this earth, you really are dumb. Psalm 144, here again, you know. Well, we're supposed to be pacifists, Dan. Blessed be Yahweh my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. That's my verse right there. Yeah, praise Yahweh. Sitting in the corner right over here, I've got a big old double-edged sword. It's about a four-foot blade on that thing. Would I use it? In a heartbeat. Do I want to use it? Absolutely not. Blood has never been on the blade of that sword. But would I use it? Absolutely. In the cause of justice. In the cause of defense of the widows and the orphans, in defense of the innocent, absolutely, which is exactly what the knights of old were all about. In the time of chivalry, they learned violence not to use it to abuse. A good warrior, a good soldier, prepares for war but prays for peace. If you're not praying for peace, then you're not a warrior. Sorry, but you're not. You're just a bloodthirsty mercenary. Because a true warrior hates violence. Malachi 3, verse 6, for I, Yahweh, do not change. Therefore you, O children of Jacob. That's funny. It doesn't say children of the world here, does it? Children of Jacob are not consumed. That's right, because you and I deserve to be consumed right now. Yeah, we do. Hate to say it, but we do. We deserve it. Sitting on our ass while this whole world goes to hell. All you people out there with positions of power, whether it's in the court system, military, police, whatever, doing the work of the Antichrist, and there is no justice in the land. You are the problem. We are the problem. The wicked do what they do because of their fact that they're wicked. All right? Now, to close out, we're going to jump over, and I was only going to read a portion of it, but we might go through the whole thing here real quick, and that's Jeremiah 51, which is the destruction of Babylon. Because that's where we're at. It's time for the destruction of Babylon. And how do you destroy it? Well, first of all, the righteous have to come out of it, okay? Who do you think allows this Jewish-run world to continue? This communist Jewish-run world. Who do you think enables it to even survive? You and I do, folks. White men and women supporting this Antichrist system that's out here. We allow it. If we came out of it, it would crumble on its own. We wouldn't have to lift a finger. It cannot survive. It is so utterly corrupt. If the good men and women would simply step away and stop supporting it, stop buying their merchandise, stop using their money system, come out of Babylon, and Babylon dies. That's the beautiful part of it. We don't have to go out there and gear up and go to battle against them. Now, if they come on our territory, that's a different story. They come on my property, then, that's when the sword comes out. But if you want to take advantage of the rest of the world, you Babylonians, then go ahead, because the true people of Yahweh don't want to be part of your system. And when enough of us come out of it, it dies. So Jeremiah 51, and Yahweh has said, see, I will make a wind of destruction come up against Babylon. Sort of like a flame of fire, isn't it? And against those who are living in Chaldea, meaning those who take part with this Jewish nonsense. And I will send men, not boys, not males, I will send men to Babylon to make her clean and get her land cleared. For in the day of trouble, they will put up their tents against her on every side. That means the people of Yahweh will take a stand instead of always backing up. Against her, meaning Babylon, the bow of the archer is bent, and he puts on his coat of metal, which is mail. A coat of mail. Have no mercy on her, young men. Give all her army up to the curse. What is the curse? The curse is death, destruction for their evil and wicked ways. And the dead will be stretched out in the land of the Chaldeans and the wounded in her streets. For Jacob Israel has not been given up, or Judah by his God. For Yahweh of armies, or by Yahweh of armies, for their land is full of sin against the Holy One of Jacob Israel. Go in flight out of Babylon, so that every man may keep his life. Do not be cut off in her evil doing, for it is the time of Yahweh's punishment. He will give her her reward. Babylon has been a gold cup in the hand of Yahweh, which has made all the earth overcome with wine. The nations have taken of her wine, and for this cause the nations have gone off their heads, or out of their minds, so to speak. Sudden is the downfall of Babylon and her destruction. Make cries of grief for her. Take sweet oil for her pain, if it is possible for her to be made well. Well, we've been trying, but I don't think it's possible anymore. We would have made Babylon well, but she is not made well. Give her up, and let us go, everyone, to his country, for her punishment is stretching up to heaven and lifted up even to the skies. Yahweh has made clear our righteousness. Come, and let us give an account in Zion of the work of Yahweh our God. Make bright the arrows. Take up the body covers, meaning your armor. Yahweh has been moving the spirit of the king of the Medes against his design against Babylon is its destruction. For it is the punishment from Yahweh, the payment for his temple. Let the flag be lifted up against the walls of Babylon. Make the watch strong. Put the watchmen in their places. Make ready a surprise attack. For it is Yahweh's purpose. He has done what he has said about the people of Babylon. O you whose living place is by the wide waters, whose stores are great, your end is come. Your evil prophet is ended. Again, Ezekiel 37:38, that valley of dead and dry bones. dead and dry bones. We'll skip down here to verse 20. 51:20 of Jeremiah. Talking to you and me, folks, you are my battle axe and my instrument of war. With you, Jacob, Israel, the nations will be broken. With you, kingdoms or governments will be broken. With you, the horse and the horsemen will be broken, means military, police. With you, the war carriage and he who goes in it will be broken. MRAPs, tanks, armored vehicles. With you, man and woman will be taken. Men and women in uniform today, aren't they? With you, the old man and the boy will be taken and broken. With you, the young man and the virgin will be broken. With you, the keeper of sheep with his flock will be broken. And with you, the farmer and his oxen will be broken. And with you, captives and captains and rulers will be broken. And I will give to Babylon and to all the people of Chaldea, meaning the people that go along with her, their reward for all the evil they have done in Jacob's Zion before your eyes, says Yahweh. You can read the rest on your own. Jeremiah 51. He trains our fingers, our hands to war. He teaches us that we are his battle axe and weapons of war. We could read, it's a short one. Let's go ahead and read that one. Psalm 149. One of my favorites, because it just blows total holes in this modern-day church world nonsense. It says we're to sit in the pews while the world goes to hell. Let Yahweh be praised. Make a new song to Yahweh. Let his praise be in the meeting or the coming together of his saints, the called-out ones of Jacob Israel. That's the saints. Let Jacob Israel have joy in his maker. Let the children of Zion, you and me, be glad in their king, our ruler, our king, our government. Let them give praise to his name in the dance. Let them make melody to him with instruments of brass and corded instruments of music. For Yahweh has pleasure in his people. Doesn't say the world. In his people. He gives the poor in spirit a crown of salvation. Let the saints have joy and glory. Let them give cries of joy on their beds. Let the high praises of Yahweh God be in their mouths and a two-edged sword in their hands. To give the nations the reward of their transgressions and the peoples their punishment. To put their kings, presidents, prime ministers, ambassadors in chains and their rulers, bureaucrats in bands of iron. To give them the punishment which is in the holy writings. This honor is given to all his saints. Praise be to Yahweh God. This honor is given to all his saints to give them the punishment which is in what? The Constitution? The Bill of Rights? The World Declaration of the United Nations? No, the punishment's in the holy writings. God's law. Not man's law. Not man's law. When are we going to, you know, it's funny. I watch a lot of videos. I watch a lot of stuff day in and day out. I'm on the phone with people conversing about what's going on all over the country, all over the world, every day. And it's amazing to me how many reports I get of people saying this has to be done, that has to be done, but almost nobody says, let's abandon the man-made system and let's get back to living under God's law. Do you hear it very often? Okay, we here on this platform, of course, we've been saying it for almost 25 years. But out there, do you hear it said very often? Well, I got good news for you. Some of the platforms are starting to do just that. And here's the other thing. Remember, I think it was last program I was talking about Justin Nemos. Now, I remember when he first came on to the Truther platforms and all, I kind of respected his work and all that, but there were other people doing similar type work. But he's a very, very good speaker, very knowledgeable. He's a good researcher. I watched a interview with him and Daniel Christos, and they basically gave an identity message. It was amazing. Now, that was about a week ago. And there's some others, too, like Max Egan and Jeff Burrick, who's the Dollar Vigilante. They've been doing a lot of this as well, outing the Jews for who they are and even talking an almost identity message. Now, it's not complete because they don't get the race mixing part done. But, again, it's a step in the right direction. So we have these various platforms who are now speaking these truths contained within the identity message, and they are also beginning to call for justice. Even David Martin and others of significant credentials are talking about the need for the day of the rope for these people. They have committed murder and treason. Both of them are capital offenses. The people who commit such offenses should be put to death. Oh, Dan, you sound violent. No, I'm not a violent person. No, I'm not. But my heart goes out to the victims. I don't give a damn about the culprit. I'll have to be honest. Anthony Fauci, do I care about him? He's a piece of shit. Deborah Birx, another piece of shit. Everybody that's promoted all this mass murder going on are pieces of shit. Sorry, but I don't have any empathy for them. They did so willingly. Nobody put a gun to their head. They did so for filthy lucre, money, power, glory. My heart goes out to my cousin that died in his early 60s. My heart goes out to the best friend of my brother who died way too soon. The brother of another good friend of mine who just passed away in his 50s. My heart goes out to those people taken advantage of by these liars and miscreants. So gathering up those who willfully commit these crimes and putting them to death, I don't consider that violent. I consider that justice. Taking the rapists that are coming in across our borders, first time they commit rape of a boy or a girl, they are taken over to a street corner and hung on a lamppost. And a sign is put around their neck why they are hanging there. I'm going to tell you, your incidence of rape will go down dramatically. The first time one of these bastards comes in and commits murder, same thing. Find them hanging from a lamppost with a sign around their neck. Or any of the other capital crimes, like kidnapping. Oh, you want to kidnap because you're part of a gang and it's part of your gang privilege, and it shows that you're a good gang member, you're going to kidnap somebody? Guess what? When we catch you, you're dead. Okay? You're dead. Don't give us, I wanted to be... No. There is no excuse. No excuse at all. You commit kidnapping for any reason whatsoever, and you're going to die. Now, let me have one small caveat, because I know some people are going to run off with this thing. When we find the murderer, rapist, and kidnappers, there is only one entity on earth allowed to show them mercy. Only one. The victim. Let that sink in. If the victim of that offense believes the perpetrator deserves mercy, they can bestow that mercy. But only them. nobody else. No prosecutor, no governor, no president, no member of Congress, no military commander. No. Nobody. Nobody except the victim. In the case of murder, the victim's family. Okay? The close relatives of the victim. If they decide mercy, then God says then they can be shown mercy. But nobody else. No politicians, no guy sitting there with a briefcase full of electronic shekels from these Jews. You don't buy it. Only the victim. And that's another thing. If a victim or the family of a victim takes Jewish money to issue a pardon, that is a crime. Let that sink in. That is a crime. Also punishable. And while we're talking about it, one more real quick point, because we're about justice, all right? In Yahweh's law, when you testify, let's say we have a panel of 12 Israelite men, and they're going to hear a case that deals with rape. And there's a referee, not a judge, there's a referee over there watching other proceedings, and you testify. Let's say it's a young woman, and she testifies that Pete over here raped her. Under oath, before the 12 elders, she testifies he raped her. And then it's found out that she lied. Who gets the death penalty? She does. Not Pete. She does. She lied under oath. Let's say you're a police officer and you're brought in to testify against a guy that's being charged with being an organized criminal of some kind, or let's say a drug trafficker. And it's proven that this drug trafficker is accused, anyway, of causing the death of a child. So that's murder. So this is a capital case, and this police officer testifies against him. It then becomes known that the police officer lied. Who gets the death penalty? The police officer does. We have another case where here's a couple and they're being accused of something that would bring the death penalty, and the prosecutor withheld evidence that would prove that they were innocent. Who gets the death penalty? The prosecutor. The same thing could be for in the current system, we have a judge instead of a referee. But a referee or judge has disallowed evidence that would have proven the accused was innocent. Who gets the death penalty? The judge or referee does. You see, God's law is very simple. It's very simple. And here's the other beautiful part. It is immediately effective. And why people can't understand this, I do not know. How long do you think it would be before your police would start behaving themselves if they found out there's five or six of them hanging from street lamps for committing rape or murder or kidnapping? Do you think the rest of the police might straighten up? You'd find out a whole lot of them would quit their jobs and go find another job. Same thing with judges, prosecutors, congressmen, other administrators, doctors, lawyers. If we instituted God's law, it wouldn't take more than a week or so, and the word would get out there that you can't buy your way out of your troubles, folks. And here's the other thing. Not only would all these professions all of a sudden get cleaned up, but you're going to find boatload after boatload of Jews running into other countries to get out of here because they are guilty of many crimes. And they get away with it because they own the court system. You wonder why there's no justice in the world? That's why. Because you and I, as men of Yahweh, are the only ones given the authority to execute justice in this land. You and I are the only ones who are not part of the current system. Think upon that. You want this world cleaned up? It'll get cleaned up in a hurry. All you have to do is come back to the Father and institute his law and take man's law and put it in a trash can and set it on fire. Simple as that. It's not rocket science. And I'm going to tell you, this world will clean up overnight. And all these pharmaceutical companies and these manufacturers producing all these chemicals and other things that are poisoning our air, our water, our soil, our food, all of them will be on trial. And when they're found guilty, they will be executed. Do you think they would stop doing what they're doing? You better believe it. But see, right now, the Jews giving them a lot of money and leeway. Again, sons of Yahweh have not manifested themselves, and the world is in travail. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this time to share. We thank you for this platform to put your word out there. We just pray it would reach the ears that are meant to hear it. We pray also it would pierce the hearts of our people. Let them see the pure and simple truths and solutions that are presented in your word versus the nonsense that claims it will fix the problem in this world. The people who created this mess are claiming they can win elections and solve the problem. When are our people going to wake up? We, your sons and daughters, are crying out to you for justice, Father Yahweh. It sickens us to sit here and watch what is being done to innocent people. Yes, they may be ignorant, and maybe they even deserve it, but it is still sickening to watch what is being done to this poor earth that is innocent, if for no other reason than to purify this world and cleanse it. We pray for your justice to be soon. Until that day, Father Yahweh, we ask that you walk with us and guide us in all that we say and do to thy glory and for thy kingdom. We ask and pray in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.